Martha Makowiak credits faith and family with her miraculous survival, and community-wide Thanksgiving events offer food and fitness. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. Martha Makowiak returned to Haines on Sunday after spending 2 weeks in a Seattle hospital. She, her husband Mike, son Nick, and family friend Victoria Hansen were on board the private plane that crashed into Lynn Canal on November 4th. Martha suffered severe hypothermia and cardiac arrest after swimming to shore. She had to be resuscitated twice. She credits a series of fortunate events and overwhelming support with her survival and speedy recovery. Sitting at her kitchen table on a recent chilly morning, Martha looks healthy and happy. She's moving a little slowly, and she says she's tired most of the time, but otherwise, she says, she feels good. During our conversation, Martha used the word miracle several times. She says on that day a few weeks ago, as soon as she knew the plane was in serious trouble, she started praying and didn't stop.
Michael said I made it kind of, I was within about 10 feet of the shore when I dipped under. But I was swimming mostly on my back, and I kept turning around to see how much further I had to go. And there was a bigger swell than I expected, and that kept washing over me. And that whole time I was just praying the whole time, Lord, I'm not ready to die, not yet, please.
The flight started normally that day, she says, a little cloudy in Juneau, but nothing out of the ordinary. Martha and Nick were on their way home from a college visit in Idaho and were set to take the ferry back to Haines, but Mike offered to pick them up in their plane. Partway through the flight, the plane stalled.
It was just like, oh my goodness, this is it, we're gonna go down. And he was hoping for a beach landing, and when he turned around, he could see an area that had potential, but just the conditions with the wind and everything, he was pretty quick to recognize that we weren't going to make that beach. And so he set it down as best as he could, and I've been told that it was a remarkable thing to be able to set a plane down in those conditions on the water. I know we skipped a couple times, and I know we flipped, but I don't remember realizing that we flipped. I just remember, you know, the water coming in, and we all got out. It felt like within seconds. He had us open the doors right before we landed, because apparently sometimes the frame can interfere with that if there's an impact.
She says, remarkably, everyone on board remained calm. Her husband gave them instructions as the plane headed for the water.
And he had us, you know, he said, have your hand on your seatbelt so that as soon as we're down, you can get unbuckled. And we just pulled right out. So we all got out. So we all got out onto the wing. Michael was the last one out. His foot was stuck. So that was probably an instant of a kind of a panic kind of feeling when it looked like his foot was stuck. But he was able to just pull his foot out of his shoe. And so then we could tell the plane wasn't going to sit there for very long. It was already tipping down. So we just launched off the wing to swim for shore. And I probably, apparently naively thought, okay, there's the shore. We can make it.
They all swam toward shore. Martha was just shy of the rocky beach when a wave overtook her. She says her son Nick jumped in and pulled her out. Mike then resuscitated her when they made it to shore.
I've been told that I looked like I was dead. I was completely pale and blue, and it sounds pretty horrifying, but I didn't see any of that.
She says she remembers waiting for help on the beach, but adds at no point during the ordeal did she think about or feel the cold. After an hour or so, a Temsco helicopter was the first to arrive, but the nightmare continued. Once at Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital, she had a cardiac episode and had to be revived again. She also had to be intubated and was given warm fluids intravenously to get her core temperature up. Doctors then put her under to operate.
Apparently there was a lot of pressure building in my abdomen from the salt water and the gases and everything in there, and it was putting so much pressure on my lungs and heart that that didn't look good for me. So that's when they decided to open me up and relieve that pressure. And it's that cut that I probably startled me awake, I'm guessing. It was very painful how they were pushing around my organs, and they had a suction hose that was getting stuff out. I don't know. And then they they prepared me for the flight to Harborview. And so I have that bit of a memory of the pain of it and being paralyzed. I didn't know that I was paralyzed, but being somewhat aware and feeling like, don't they know that I'm awake and I can feel this? And I was trying so hard to move my hand or wiggle my foot or something, but I couldn't.
Then Martha was medevac to Seattle. She says she vaguely remembers being on the plane, which made it there quickly because of a strong tailwind.
The pilot said he'd never seen tailwinds like that. We got there in an hour and 40 minutes. So that's just another one of those little details.
It took her a couple days of recovery in Seattle before she understood what was happening. She says the outpouring of support and prayers continues to astound her. From friends and family far and wide to the nurses and doctors who took care of her in Juneau and Seattle, and the Temsco pilot that rescued her off the beach. Horrifying as it was, Martha says the ordeal has turned out to be positive in many ways.
One thing that is just very sobering to me is that this story isn't just a sweet little story about how God loves us. This story is the bedrock of the Christian faith. This is death and resurrection. And that's a tremendous gift that I've been given. And I'm not sure what it means for me, but there's something there that is just astounding to me. It clearly was miraculous.
While she may have lingering effects from the hypothermia, Martha is expected to make a nearly full recovery. Events are happening around Haines and Skagway for Thanksgiving, and believe it or not all center around the food. If you're considering whether to wear the pants with the extra stretchy waistband tomorrow, consider this. Haines and Skagway are both offering Thanksgiving exercise options before the endless trays of food are presented. Turkey trots are taking place in both communities and could help the guilt that inevitably follows overindulging.
There's no reason you can't enjoy the same foods other times of the year in moderation, so there's no need to go overboard on this one day.
That's Kate Fossman, a registered nutritionist and dietitian in Haines. She says going heavy on the non-starchy veggies and a little easier on the rest is a surefire way to remain upright and awake after the meal. A little movement, even just a quick walk, is another way to combat the effects of overeating.
Or it might help you feel a little bit less full so that when pie comes around, you're actually looking forward to it instead of just trying to stuff it down.
She adds that there's no reason to go without a favorite decadent food, but everything in moderation. And if you're going for seconds, start with the veggies first, she says. Those looking for a little more exercise on Turkey Day can sign up for the Turkey Trot. In Skagway, it's the 14th annual event. In past years, around 30 people have taken part, says Brandy Bounds. She's helping out with the run, and she says the run offers a good chance to get moving early before the big feast.
It's good for anybody. Whatever pace you want to do works. It's just around town.
The fun run is a 5K and starts at 10:15 at the pizza station with food and drink available. The $10 entry fee goes towards Skagway School's intramural program, and there will be apple pies for the winners. In Haines, the 5K trot starts at 9 a.m. at the old fire tower in Fort Seward. Participation is free and open to all. Afterwards, from 1 to 3 p.m., the Ministerial Association of Haines is hosting a community-wide Thanksgiving dinner at the Haines School. Jane Cowart is helping out with the meal and said last year nearly 100 people showed up. She and her husband pastor a local church, and while the dinner is hosted by several churches, it's open to everyone, and it's sure to offer a diverse and plentiful spread.
This will be the second year we've done it at the school, and then 2 years before that, each church did their own little thing, and then we just thought it would be a good idea to come together and do it in a neutral place so people would feel comfortable. So it's 4 years.
She says the meal truly is for everyone, not just for those who are a little down on their luck.
If people need it, they need it, and if they just don't want to be lonely or they just want to be a part of the community, because we have the churches doing so many things with meat, but then the community brings side dishes and we end up with just so much food and, you know, unexpected food because people, you know, everybody has their special things they like to make at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it just turns out to be just a really fun time.
She adds that even if you can't bring a side dish, definitely bring your appetite. Happy Thanksgiving. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.